After more than a decade of growth, the General Services Administration realized its professional services schedule needed some serious pruning. GSA completed that first step in the process on October 1st by merging 8 professional services multiple award contracts into one. In his weekly feature, Inside the Reporter's Notebook, executive editor Jason Miller writes about the changes to this $10 billion a year schedule. Jason, good to have you on.
Hello, Tom.
All right. So, first of all, what were they trying to accomplish here? There were 8 scheduled contracts. These were multiple awards, and they all had professional services.
Correct. So, you know, GSA runs these schedules. They're very popular. Agency uses them. Vendors like them. But over the years, what GSA has seen was, well, we keep adding. We have professional services. We have management and operations. We have, you know, logistics, and we have, you know, financial and business solutions. So things grew. And what they're figuring out is no one does professional services in a vacuum, and agencies don't necessarily buy professional services in a vacuum. So that sometimes they may need logistics and engineering, or they may need management and financial and business solutions. And basically what GSA heard from their customers and from their you know, vendors is we've got to present a way to make it easier to buy these types of professional services. So this was a year-long effort, and they basically took about 5,000 contracts, about 4,500 contractors, and merged them into about 4,000 total contracts and contractors. And in fact, about 330 vendors had multiple professional services schedules, meaning, you know, pick a big company, Booz Allen Hamilton, just to pick them out of the hat, for example, Tom. They may have had 6 or 7 or all 8 of those professional services contracts, and now they just have 1. So the whole goal here was to make it easier on agencies, easier on vendors, but also easier on themselves.
So now a federal buyer can go to one place. And by the way, what is this thing called now? What do they end up calling it?
Just the professional services contract. It was so easy.
So I can go to that, and then I can choose what services I want within that particular space, and it'll give me all of the contractors service by service, but I'm not leaving that one contract vehicle, in other words.
Correct. So if you need multiple professional services for the same project or program, you're not setting up multiple task orders. You're setting up just one task order that can cover the gamut. And in fact, GSA also brought in some of the IT services, because many times, Tom, as we know, the IT and the professional services go hand in hand. You're buying, you know, for instance, management support services, but also somebody to, you know, implement some kind of IT program that will support that management services, or financial management is most many times IT as well. So there's some special item numbers, something called SINs, S-I-N, and those also bring in the IT side. So they're just trying to make it easy. And again, all in one place is the key.
And is this something that the vendors also are welcoming?
Absolutely. You know, I heard from both Roger Waldron from the Coalition of Government Procurement and Larry Allen, you know, president of Allen Federal Business Partners, who's a longtime GSA watcher. And they both have said, you know, they both praised GSA for this consolidation, saying it's a long time in coming. It's really going to make things easier for everybody. And additionally, it's also bringing some new life into the schedules. Remember, Tom, the schedules first came about in the mid-90s. So this is now 2015. So it's been a good 20, 25 years of these schedules. And yes, they've had incremental changes. But this one specifically is really a major change.
All right. We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. And what about the issue of bundling? I mean, if you have multiple requirements, how do they prevent, or what should agencies do to make sure they just don't go to, say, a Booz Allen or some other large contractor that may have multiple deals under this one unified vehicle, from just saying, well, I'll just take everything from this one, column A? In other words, how do they keep it competitive?
So all the rules still apply. You still have to do your market research. You still have to look at, you know, are there at least 2 or 3 small businesses who are qualified? So nothing changes from that perspective. Agencies just can't say, well, I have this one contract, I'll make life easier. I mean, if you think about it, Tom, GWACs, there's the same fears around GWACs, you know, 25 years ago. Well, why don't you just take everything to the government-wide acquisition contracts, like Alliant or like, you know, Vets or whatever. And in the end, you know, agencies don't make those types of decisions in a vacuum. They look at all their opportunities and then go forward with the best one.
And another final question on that whole consolidation. You quote in your story, Kathy Jokoy, he's the Professional Services Schedule Project Manager, which must be a real great line at parties. Hey, I'm the Professional Services Schedule Project Manager, regardless of that. She says that this is a great fit. They're very excited about it. Is this the end of the story, or do they have more plans ahead?
So they have more plans. I think this is one major step. Now, the GSA has already seen, well, they expect to see about almost $4 million in savings over the next 5 years. So they see that if they continue to really look at the schedules and make it better, you know, there's savings across the board for GSA and contractors and agencies. You know, there's going to be less contracts to administer. Vendors will have less things to deal with in terms of, like, we're not going to have eight different contracting officers to deal with. Now we're going to have one with a smaller set of contracting specialists. Modifications and changes will go more quickly. So all of that's beneficial. So then what GSA says they're going to do is look at the special item numbers, going back to the SINs, and saying, well, and one complaint GSA has heard is that the SINs don't necessarily line up with the NAICS codes. And I know we're getting into a little bit of the weeds.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, but the NAICS codes are your North American Industry Classification System, and it's really basically how every industry is categorized. So what they're going to try to do is take the SIN structure, special item numbers, line them up with the NAICS codes and see if they can make it easier for agencies.
All right, so still some fine tuning to do. And just switching gears here for a minute, you mentioned that there's been some big personnel changes at VA as they pursue their strategy of better customer service.
Great. The big one is Darren Blue, who is the General Services Administration's Public Building Services Director of the National Capital Region. So that's everything in the Washington, D.C. metro area. He is actually moving over to VA to be what they call the basically deputy director or the
Deputy Chief Customer Experience Officer.
Thank you. Deputy Chief Customer Service Experience Officer with VA. And Tom Allen. Now, we talked about Tom Allen last week. I did had a nice conversation with Tom, and then we've had him on the show a couple times, and he's really pushing VA towards better customer service. Well, what he's doing is bringing in this gentleman, Darren Blue, who is a veteran, served in the Army for 9 years, but also has been managing basically a quarter of all federal real estate and overseeing about half of all of the public building services revenue. So here's somebody who has got to understand customer service, because otherwise the tenants and others will not be happy with the way the PBS is running the National Capital Region. So that's a very important hire for VA.
Well, VA, of course, has its own real estate problems. It seems like Darren Blue could also help in that regard.
Well, but that's not what the customer service
does. That's not what they're doing,
yeah, right? Exactly.
Well, it all takes place in a building, so I guess in some way. And also, Larry Gross, an old hand at the federal government, has been in a lot of jobs over the years. He's moving again also.
He is now. He's the new chief information officer at the FDIC. He takes over for Barry West, who was part of that. He went on administrative leave back in June for unknown reasons, and eventually Barry West resigned back in August. So Larry comes to the FDIC from the Farm Service Agency in the Agriculture Department. And you know, this is a good move for Larry. You know, he's been the deputy at several places, Interior, Associate CIO at Treasury. So this new role is much bigger for him. This is a very, very good move for him and obviously for FDIC. I think they're getting a very quality person who can come in and kind of continue down the path to really modernize and improve the services that the FDIC provides.
All right, just some of the news you can find in Jason Miller's Inside the Reporter's Notebook. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. As always, great to have you on.
Thank you, Tom.